to come and return. Amen? I'm thankful for his goodness. Well, you may take your seat. We're going to go into this. Last night, Brother Josh did a fantastic job in ministering the word. Got me thinking and pushing me in some directions as he was ministering. I was making a mental note. I got home and I put a little something together. I was like, I couldn't sleep. I was just thinking about this. And so I'm going to come off of the series we in. We were in the Galatians series. Understand the book of Galatians. We're almost done. Another 4 or 5 weeks, we'll be finished. But I'm going to come off of that this morning. I'm going to go ahead and do this feast of trumpets, this shouting that we've been dealing with here. Started last night. We're going to be here again tonight. The feast of trumpets, the trumpet sounds, the dead raise. That's a big deal. Let me tell you, when dead raise, it's got to be, when that trumpet went off a while ago, you could feel something in the air. Well, this is what we ought to be practicing. The scripture plainly tells us this stuff. But the church has unhitched itself from the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and kind of went off on their own. It's a sad, sad day in the church today that will unhitch from the very principles. If God said, I want to listen to it. If he said, I want to pay attention. I don't know how you unhitch from the God said stuff. Amen? So we're going to take this on. I'm going to get just, we know where we can finish it. This is about 7-8 week series. But we're going to touch into it and we'll leave it up to our rest of our guys tonight. I believe we have 2 speakers tonight. We're going to touch on this, but I want to go into this. I want it to minister to your heart. I know God, he wants the best for us. How many of you know that? The absolute best. And so he wants to unfold this stuff in our life. This is the Feast of Trumpets, or Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah. And so these are some important principles that I want to take on and look at today. I believe it's going to help all of us. So I want you to take some time to just focus on the scripture that I'm going to give you today pertaining to this, so it'll help you and bring understanding and refreshment to your life. And you'll see it as this thing unfolds. Amen? How many thank God for his goodness? Amen. How many appreciate the opportunity that he gives us to come and to go into his word and see these things unfold? Well, this is something that we definitely want to do. Let me just connect real quick and then we'll go on. All right, here we go. All right, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah. I'm going to take this, we're going to look at this from a different angle. We're going to see this differently. Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah. Yom means day, day of trumpets. That's what it means, the day of trumpets. There are 7 feast days. One of these, here we are, we're looking at this one unfold. This is a valuable principle for us. This is one that hasn't been fulfilled. So at this time of the year, during this time, we're supposed to be looking up. This is what this feast is all about. It's looking. We're looking for the first sighting of the moon when it makes its first appearance. So all those in Israel, they're looking up. They're waiting. And you ever wonder why God would cause a feast to be like on that day? Because when he returns, you know what he wants us doing? Looking up, waiting for his return. The bridegroom is coming for the bride. The bridegroom is coming for the bride. So I'm gonna give you a few things here. I think that'll help you. Yom Teruah. This is what it looks like. If you want to take a peek out in the sky, you'll be able to see that. This is what it looks like out in the sky. Again, it's the blowing of the shofar. The trumpet shall sound. How many have heard the scripture says the last trumpet will sound? What happens when that last trumpet sounds? Dead people raise. That's a good thing. Amen. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. How many thank God for that? How many believe he's coming back? Well, sure he's coming back. And he gives us an indication in scripture of what time that's going to be for us to be excited. It's a time to shout. It's a time for joy. It's a time to be excited. It's a time of war. He said he'll wage war with the saints. He's telling us you better get ready. If you're going to survive, In this hour we're living, you got to be ready. You got to fight for you. You got to fight the good fight of faith, because it's a fight. You don't just serve God because you feel like it. Nobody's going to make it because they just so happen to make it or it's kind of slipped in. You got to fight for this stuff. You got to be serious. It's got to matter to you, because he's going to wage war with the saints. But we fight the good fight of faith. How many understand that? And so all of this is symbols of this Yom Teruah. And I just want to let you, I want to focus on this because it's important for you to understand. I want you to know that people in general, just everybody in general, we have built inside of us. It's in our DNA. Christian or non-Christian, it doesn't make a difference. Christian don't qualify you. Christian means that you decided that you're going to follow him. But before you decided that, inside of every human being, there is the capacity to look for him. You miss him. The world, they miss him. But they do everything else to try to fulfill what they miss, and they never get there. We all been missing him. But when you get saved, you figure out what you've been missing. And it becomes real to you. And so what it is Hollywood and movies, they all have an apocalyptic theme to them. I don't know if you've noticed that over the years. You can go to the movie shows, they have apocalyptic themes because that's what people are interested in. They're interested really in the return. They don't know it. We didn't know it until we come to understand the truth. But there's it's all built inside of you. You can't be together with him and then separated from him and not miss it. Well, that was just like sin was passed on. The ability to miss God was passed on. Is somebody here today? And so we try to fulfill that with everything we can. Doesn't matter what it is. We trying to fulfill it. And let me tell you, the eye is the gateway. It's the light of the body. It's the lamp of the body. And that's what the movies and all of that, it tries to paint this picture that somehow you can fulfill what you've been missing. It never works. Some of you are living proof here. There's a testimony in every seat here today. You're living proof that what you missed all your life, and you tried every kind of thing you can to fulfill what you missed, and it never satisfied you until somebody introduced you to the Most High. And when you got introduced to the Most High, something changed in your life. Your life changed. This is what Yom Teruah is all about. He tells us every year, he said, you practice this. These are my feasts, not Jewish feasts, my feasts. They're mine. They belong to me. They belong to Yahweh. You practice them. You use them as a memorial until I come back. They're mine. And if he said they're his, I ought to be doing it. We got to quit making excuses in the church world today about where they're this and they're that. Listen, if we're serving the Most High, we ought to be doing what he said for us to do. They're mine. We ought to be celebrating this time of year. Every year that comes around. How many thank God that I told Brother Josh this morning, I said, man, brother, I tell you, I'm so grateful that God saw fit to have mercy on me. Have mercy on us to open our understanding to this truth. Thank you, Father. I'm so thankful. Amen. So I want you to think about this. Hollywood and all of this. Movies, they have an apocalyptic theme because it sells. It sells. My case in point, how many of you ever heard of this series? The Left Behind series. 63 million copies sold. The Left Behind series. And really what it's showing is a rapture of the church. It's the rapture of the church. They're left behind. Everybody else stays and the church is gone and you've been left behind. It's apocalyptic. People have a hunger for this stuff. It was in a novel. You read the books. You buy the movie. 63 million copies of this sold. That's a lot. I'd say the guy that put this series together, he did pretty well. The problem with it, what he says in the series is not true. And we're going to deal with that later as we go through this. I'm going to show you. But why can you have something that's not true do so well? This is to the church. 63 million copies. Because everybody inside of them have a hunger for what's going to happen in the end. You might want to avoid it. You might get yourself real busy and get so busy, maybe you forget it, but deep down inside, you're wondering, what's going to happen in the end? When that trumpet blows for real, somebody mentioned last night, what happens when we hear celebrating Yom Teruah and the tape goes off and the trumpet keeps going? Hey! If it keeps going, you know a bunch of you in here are going to go, are they still playing that tape? Well, let me read this to you. How many ever heard of Charles Spurgeon? Anybody ever hear of Charles Spurgeon? All right, he's a minister a long time ago. Listen to what he said. I think he was on to something here. You know about, read your Bible is the title. You know more about your ledgers than your Bible. You know more about your magazines and novels than what God has written. Many of you will read a novel from the beginning to the end. And what have you got? A mouth full of foam when you're done. But you cannot read the Bible, the solid, lasting, substantial, and satisfying food goes uneaten, locked up in the cupboards of neglect. While anything that a man writes, a bestseller of the day, is greedily devoured. Charles Spurgeon. That's what's happening. It becomes a bestseller, and we got a lot of that going on. New York Times bestsellers. New York Times bestsellers. New York Times bestsellers. We got preachers trying to be on New York Times bestsellers. I don't know what you're trying to write a bestseller for. Why don't you teach people how to read the Bible? We got to quit trying to be famous. Think about that. We got to quit trying to be famous. The preacher don't need to be famous. You know why they're famous? Because you hunger for that. You, the people, we hunger for fame. If so-and-so's in town, we gone if it rains or not. But we won't get up in the morning if they got a cloud outside to come to our own church. This is why I was sitting down last night just thinking. Brother Josh got me thinking. So I threw this together. Yom Teruah, let me give you a few ways it means. Yom Teruah is a day of shouting. It's a day of shouting. We ought to be practicing our shout. Zukkurim Yom Teruah is a memorial of shouting. It's a memorial of shouting is what it means. Now, here's Rosh Hashanah. How many have heard that? You've heard Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. You won't find that in the Bible. That's a Jewish custom. But it's called Yom. This is what they would celebrate because in the Jewish calendar, there were different beginnings of year. They were different. Now, Yom Teruah is celebrated in the first day of the seventh month. The seventh month. But they would call that, like, it'd be almost like a physical year. So they would use this term. It's also, this is one of my favorite, it's called Yom HaMelech. Hum Yom HaMelech. And so this is very important because Melech is king. It's the day, the king. So day of the king, the coronation of a king. I mean, you know that when the trumpet sounds, the king is coming. Yes. Heaven must retain him for right now. I mean, you know, heaven's retaining him for right now, but one day. Yes. the trumpet's going to sound and the king will be coronated. Now we know in heaven, he's at the right hand of the Father. That's what the scripture tells us. He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But in the world doesn't know him yet as the King of Kings. But this day, on Yom Teruah, when the trumpet blasts, the Bible says he'll come with great glory and power. And his just the visit, when you look, and it says, every eye shall see him. Every eye. A little, as I make these statements, you keep the mental note about my left behind slide. Keep a mental note. Keep a mental note, because if every eye shall see him, I don't know who's left behind. It's like, it's almost like you close your eyes, you open them up, and everybody's gone, and you didn't know what happened. That's not what the scripture says. Every eye shall see him. Saved, unsaved, don't. You can be the president of the United States. You're going to see him when he comes. And he'll make his presence known, because what's going to happen, he's going to have to be crowned king of Jerusalem. He'll sit on the seat of David. What a day that'll be. I don't know about you, but I just want to be there. Put me somewhere. I just want to witness this thing go on. The Republicans and the Democrats will be fighting about, well, he ain't even on our party. He don't want to be in your party. That's the problem. The King of Kings. So he's Yom HaMelech. Psalms 118, 26 says, blessed be he that comes in the name of Yahweh. That's what's going to be saying. He said, this is prophetic. In Psalms, he's saying, we're going to say, the world's going to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. And we have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. Think about that. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Well, we've heard that before. Matthew 23, verse 37 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou hast killed the prophets and stoned them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left to the desolate. He's weeping. He's gone from the city, and he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Think about it. What greater prophet was there than to have Yeshua himself say, I just preached to you and you wouldn't even hear me. We wonder what the world's, why the world resists so much. Why there's such a resistance to the truth. Think about it. He's walking out of this city and he doesn't have a big crowd. He's not running a large church. He's walking out of there and he says, I can't understand this. Now you're left desolate. You're going to be in trouble. Well, watch what it says in verse 39. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till ye say, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. You won't see me no more until I come on Yom Teruah. And you're going to shout, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. You're going to shout with all your might. Thank you, Lord. Every eye will see him. Not everybody's going to say, bless the Lord. They're going to resist. They're going to resist with everything that's in them. But what happens to the dead? What happens to the dead? They raise. Don't they raise? Let me give you a few more names here. Yom Hadin. Yom Hadin is the day of judgment. Yom Hadin. These are just some names that is attached to this feast, Yom Teruah. Yom Hadin, the day of judgment. You think it's going to be a day of judgment? You think that, you know, you don't realize if you're in a criminal activity. See, we got people in the world today, they've been in a lot of criminal activity. And you find if you're in a criminal activity, you find until you start hearing, hey man, They got that warrant for you. You go, who? They said, man, they got that warrant for you. I'm telling you. They come and get you. They ain't get me. Yeah, they got you. Then you start worrying. Let me just tell you. Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, he's got a warrant written by the Most High. Hallelujah. And he's coming. And we need to be preaching this more. We need to be preaching this more. I don't know how many times, listen to me. Let me tell you what the church needs. I don't know how many messages we got to get Daniel out the lion's den and Jonah out the well. I don't know how many times we got to get them Hebrew boys out the fire, but they done been out the fire. They've been saved from the lions and the fish done spit him out. We need to tell people that he is coming back and he's going to judge them. We need to dig a little deeper. We done past. That's the elementary teaching. We done that. We're past that. We got to dig deep in this thing and find out and tell people he's coming back and he's got a warrant. You're going to get yourself in trouble. It's time to shout this thing. This is one, Yamin Norim, the days of awe. What a day that's going to be. The Bible says when he comes, the false prophet and the Antichrist is destroyed just because he appears. Not a fight. There's no fight. There's no missiles and bombs being blown up. Just the fact that he appears. You telling me every eye ain't going to see him? From one end of this planet to the next, every eye will see him. Will know he's here. It'll be the days of awe. What a day that's going to be. It's also known as the day of the opening of the gates. Ooh, the gates open. The gate's going to open. The day that the gates open. He's going to come and he's going to set his foot on the Mount of Olives. And the eastern gate is going to sling wide open. And here he comes. Think about that. It's also known as the day of the resurrection of the dead. The day of the resurrection of the dead. Think about that. You know, in Matthew 27:52, it said, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Where the bodies of the saints were? Well, who were they? Let me ask you, who were they? The saints. Where were they? In the grave. Don't forget that. See, sometimes we just got to read a little slower and we'll figure out what he's trying to tell us. We're talking about when he died the first time. This is the time that they crucified him. He died. And when he died, something happened and God began to shake some stuff. And this is what it says. And the graves were open and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And they came out of the graves after his resurrection. So when he died and he rose, they rose. This happened before. But on a small scale, what he was saying is, hey, if you think this is something, you want to be at the show when the trumpet blast sounds. If you think this is it, wait until I come back. I'm taking all of you with me. And when he went into the holy city, and they appeared unto many. So they witnessed this. This was an account that was witnessed that when Christ raised from the dead, that the graves opened up. This happened. They saw it. They witnessed it. What he's trying to tell us, he said, this is going to be a day of the resurrection of the dead. What a day that's going to be. It's going to be amazing. When he returns, the dead shall raise first. How many thank God for that? What are we going to do? Let me tell you what's going to happen. This mortal. Mortal means can die. Ain't no joke. When you go to a funeral, people can die. It shall take on immortality. Cannot die. And we shall live forever and ever and ever with the Lord of glory. How many thank God for that? This one we had yesterday. This Yom Knutson, and then this Nisan, wedding of the Messiah. We had that one yesterday. We had a wedding here. These two right here got married. All right. Why y'all smiling for? Y'all smiling big this morning. Why? Because it is going to be a wedding. When Christ returns, you know what He's going to do when He returns? He's coming to get the bride. And He's going to take the bride and He's going to bring the bride under the huppah. And there we're going to, what we've been betrothed to, we're going to have. And it's going to be absolutely amazing. Amen? Then Yom HaKinson, the hidden day, Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Who's Yeshua speaking of? He said, I'm speaking of my Father. He knows. I mean, you okay if the Father knows? We got to be okay if He knows. I'm okay with it. That's why He tells us during Yom Teruah, what happens is you have this happening during Yom Teruah. During Yom Teruah, the moon goes black. There's no moon. Because you come to that end of the month and you're going to be the first of the seventh month. First day of the seventh month. He said it's Yom Teruah. Well, we don't know exactly when it is. So you go outside and you're looking. You don't see anything. It's dark. But then that first little sliver, that lets you know Yom Teruah is come already. Think about that. So, He ain't waiting for you to see it and then come. It's come already. It's already come. It come. And what you should have been doing, looking up. I'm waiting. The church has not practiced this. It's absolutely a travesty that we ain't got more preachers preaching on this stuff. What don't you can ask the average person in church. They can't even name the feast days to you. That's a travesty to the church. Got people preaching, you got to unhitch from the Tanakh. Just let it go. Let that trailer go and you just go on. And let me tell you, you better hook yourself up with the whole word. The whole thing is relevant and it's for us today. We need that foundation. The foundation of the Old Testament is needed by everybody. We need that foundation because you can't understand the entirety of Scripture without some type of foundation. So He gave that foundation for us. And so this is what happens. You're looking. All of a sudden you see the sliver, Yom Teruah. You know that event has happened. How many thank God that He is good to us, that He gives us this information? I remember growing up in church, nobody was talking about this. I don't fault them at all. That's what they knew. They were trying their best to serve. Let me tell you something. Whatever they preach, it was enough to get me saved. And I thank God for that. Every day I thank God for that. But He ain't come back since I got saved, and now we still got a job to do. We're trying to keep people in this thing. Because if you look back, a lot of people have migrated to some more inclusive type preaching. We want to be inclusive. We want to include everybody. It don't matter who you are or what you are or whatever you call yourself, but we include you at our church. You can come. Well, that's fine. There ain't nothing wrong with including people. But you can't include them if they continually to break the commandments of God. If they constantly break, and it doesn't matter what people do anymore. They can just do whatever they want. And God said, I don't understand that. And then you get famous. And once you get famous, you don't want to give up the money. There ain't no way I'm giving that up. I'm not going to give up the money. I'm going to just tell people what they want to hear. So we find somebody to tell us what we, however we live, we find somebody somewhere that don't say anything about that. We fit right in. When I come, I want to preach myself to a position where I got to examine my life daily. And I ask God if there's anything that I'm questioning. I want to repent of that and know that when I'm looking up, one day the trumpet's going to sound, the dead shall raise, and them which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's what I'm talking about. Very important. Matthew 24:42 says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your master doth come." You know not. You know not what hour your master doth come. So this whole thing is for us to watch. Yom Teruah is built, and the design of this feast is built to us to be aware of what's going on around us and watching. We're watching. We're waiting. In Isaiah 13, verse number 9. "Behold, the days of Yahweh cometh, cruel both with wrath and furious anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." I don't know if y'all got that. We better figure out who's left behind. Some want the church out of here. But the scripture says, "I'm going to cleanse the sinners out of it." Amen. Think about it. He said, "The sinners, therefore, out of it." Speaking of this wrath, this land, the land lays desolate. Remember Jerusalem, Jerusalem? You're a city of desolation now. It lays desolate. "For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, and the sun shall be darkened on the going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." Somebody said, "What do y'all do that for?" We practicing. We in rehearsal. And if you rehearse, when the day comes, you're good at it. But if you ain't rehearsing, you won't know what to do. You're going to be looking at people after they do the motion. You ever seen people in church? They ain't been to practice, but they trying. I don't want to be doing that. I want to know what I got to do. I want to be ready. That's funny. Matthew 24:29. Let's look at it. This is the word. You notice I got these words in red and I got the box around them. There's a reason. Who knows what that reason is? This is what Yeshua said, right? If he said it, we ought to be listening. I said, if he said it, we ought to be listening. You remember the series I did on all the words of Jesus? I'm going to do that again. I'm going to do the whole thing again and we're going to break that thing down. Listen, if we ain't preaching everything the Messiah said, then what in the world are we doing? You know what we too busy doing? Preaching somebody's bestseller, their novels, their magazines, and our mouth is full of foam. We got no power, no authority. All we got is we are famous. Ain't nobody being told to get ready for the trumpet. They ain't being told that. Look at it. Just go on TV, go on YouTube, whatever you want to listen to, and you look at it and see, they're not saying any of that. Listen, if you want to get God to give you money, you got to give me all your money. You got to give God something to work with. Yeah. Believe that nonsense. Keep on believing that nonsense, because that's exactly what it is. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened." I'm going to read that first line again and somebody help me tell me when this thing going to happen. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened." Maybe I need to read it again. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened." When? Immediately after the tribulation of those days. If you think that we're not going to have some tribulation, then let me tell you something. How are we going to know what your faith is? Your faith's got to be worth fighting for. So if it comes a time that we got to face some tribulation, so be it. Because I know the God that I serve is able to keep me no matter what I face. It teaches you to honor him and know that what he does. Let me just tell you. Go and read Exodus account. Because the return of Christ is just a greater Exodus. They're the same. You go read the Exodus account. The children of Goshen, they lived in Goshen. They didn't get out until the last plague. What God did for them? He said, "Those those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my fortress. He's everything, my citadel. He's my protection. He's the hooper. I get underneath that covering. And He, 1,000 shall fall at thy side. 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. They can throw the arrows by day or night. It doesn't make a difference to God. God said, I'm going to keep mine. I'm going to keep mine. You don't worry about mine. Mine's going to be okay. You want to blow your bombs up and do whatever you want to do. Mine is going to be good. Because in Goshen, the light kept shining when it was dark in Egypt. God protected His. Amen? Immediately after the tribulation, this is the master, our master, Yeshua HaMashiach. I love reading His words. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. Is that some little indications about when this thing going to happen? The moon will not give her light. What is Yom Teruah all about? The moon not giving her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven. I don't know about you, but that's a hard one for me right there. If the stars are coming, they can't be. I better leave that alone. If the stars are going to fall, they can't be suns. That's good enough right there. And the heavens shall be shaken. 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth. How many tribes? All the tribes of the earth will do what? Mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What a day that's going to be. That's an exciting time. It's exciting. Amen. Luke 21:25. And there shall be a sign in the sun. And where else? In the moon. And in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are to come on the earth, for the power of the heaven shall be shaken. So he's just giving, I'm giving you these, just some extra reading there. Verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Do what? Look up. Look up. Look up. Look up. Lord, we thank You for reminding us. But we've been looking up here. Every year at this time, we're looking for You. We thank You, Lord. We've been postured right. What's your posture? You know the posture of the believer? We're looking for the Savior to come, the Master. He comes. Look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. He's coming. Woo, what a time that's going to be. Psalms 39, verse number 4. Yahweh, make me to know mine end and measure my days. What is it that I may know how frail I am? How frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as the handbreadth. And mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Do we need a Savior? You better believe we need one. Nobody's arrived. Nobody arrives here. You think I arrived because I'm the guy speaking today? I didn't arrive. I need Him every moment of my life. I need Him every moment of my life. I need Him. I ask Him all the time, say, God, keep me. There's no arriving. You don't hit some plateau and you the man. You ain't the man. We're all together vanity, and help me. I always help me remember how frail I am. I don't want to be this big shot where you start to forget. You walking around and you got it. You know, I mean, I look at some of these guys and I say, what are they doing? Because let me tell you, because every time you do it, you got 10 or 12 followers that they want to be you. If you want to be me, I want to say, if you're going to copy my posture, I want my posture to be one to bow my knee before God and say, Lord, remind me how frail I am and how I'm at my best. I'm nothing but vanity. I need you every moment of the day. Every moment. I need thee. Lord, I need you. We live in this power. There's a lot of people who need to hear this message today. I know God, what he's done. We want our friends and our family, people we love. We work with them. We go to school with them. We see them all the time. They're not looking up. But what are we doing to tell them that? We need him. I'm trusting God for the day. I say, God, we just want, when we get it right, we are asking you, Lord, send some people here. Send some people who don't mind being preached to. Don't mind somebody telling the truth. If we got to get it right, we're just going to get it right. But when we walk out that door, we know that we've been in the throne room of God, and we know God has spoken to us to say, hey, I'm about to come. I'm about to come. I'm coming. Get ready. Make sure you're looking up. This is a wonderful Yom Teruah. We ought to be looking up and ready. Psalms 92 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. That's what we got to apply our heart to. Wisdom. We got to number our days. We don't know what's going to happen. I want to apply my heart to wisdom every chance I get. Psalms 84 verse number 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are all the ways of them who has passed through the valley of Baca. Make it a well. That word means it's the valley of tears. Make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before Elohim. Think about it. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. When you go, listen, God knows we go through things. He knows that we struggle and we have trouble. But your heart is, Lord, I want to make you happy. I want you to be pleased with my life. We can never forget that. No matter how many years we've been saved. Think about that. You know, I think about my life. I've been in church all my life. I've been pastoring for over 31 years. Think about that. You think about it. What does that mean? That means nothing to God. What he wants, because you can do a lot of stuff for a long time, but where's your heart at? Do you still feel like a child before him? I just got started, Lord. I just want you to know that I love you and I care about what's going on. That's what he's looking for. You're growing from strength to strength. In Colossians 3, verse number 1, he says, If ye then be risen with Messiah, how many want to be raised with Messiah? Remember we talked about this, it's a day of resurrection of the dead. How many want to be raised with Messiah? He said, if ye be been risen with Messiah, seek those things which are above. That should be our part, above. We seek the things that are above. Where Messiah is sitting on the right hand of Yahweh. So we're looking, we know that this is a time, it's a passing. I'm going to give you some terms in a little while, it's going to help you out. It's a passing. We're pilgrims. We're here, but we're looking for something. I'm going to show you what he says. Where Messiah sits at the right hand of Yahweh. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Messiah in Yahweh. Your life is hid in Messiah, in Yahweh. Think about that. Verse 4, when Messiah, who is our life, shall appear. When he shall appear. When is that? when that trumpet sounds, he shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. How many thank God for that? You shall appear with him in glory. And that's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, he says, while we look not on the things which are seen, we look not on the things which are what? Seen. But at the things which are not seen. The things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary. They're temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's important. So that's valuable for us to see. Now I want you to get that. What are our focus is? We focus on the things. Don't look at the things that are seen. Stuff around you. But we look at the things which are not seen. We look into that. For the things which are seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are eternal. And so these are just some scripture that are read, commonly read during this time, and things we should know about. In Psalms 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. What? You got to be careful. Listen, there's all sorts of stuff out there today. It doesn't necessarily have to be from a television. It could be from the internet. It could be from your computer, your phone. Listen, before, years and years ago, unless you was home, you was out doing something and you had no access to that. But now it follows you wherever you go. It's there. It's everywhere. But he said, listen, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. There's a reason for that. This is what keeps you during Yom Teruah. I hate the works of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Don't set wicked things before your eyes. That's what the enemy wants, because he knows he can get to you. Matthew 6:22 says, the light of the body is the eye. The lamp of the body is the eye. Think about that. If therefore the eye be single, if the eye be single, the whole body is what? Full of light. We got to make sure that we have an eye that's single. Listen, when you get betrothed to the master, that's all he is. It's everything. You're not looking for somebody else. See, today we call that being engaged. Engagement today don't mean a whole lot like it meant in the scripture. In the scripture, it meant a lot. Because if you was betrothed to somebody, meaning you weren't married, but you was promised to them, you were betrothed to them, and you did something to break that engagement, you died. I would say that meant something. Today, you know, I changed my mind. Right? That's what you do. You just change your mind and you're fine. Ain't nobody going to, hey, if you change your mind, at least y'all wasn't married. Good thing y'all didn't get married. In God's eyes, the betrothal meant a lot. Because right now, we betrothed to him. The father selects the bride. Not the son. The father selects the bride for the son. Now the bride price was paid by the son. I said the bride price was paid by the son. He gave himself for her. So the father said, now that's your bride. I'm picking them for you. And when that trumpet blows, go get her. Because she's yours. How many see that? We are betrothed. We ought to keep our eyes single. I don't know if I'm helping you or not. But I'm going to keep on preaching. I got a lot more to go here. I made 50 slides. I'm about halfway. I'm glad we ate before. Glory to God. Hey, and why I'm going? If you want to get over there and get you a cupcake, go on. You can lick the icing while I get this last few in. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body is full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkened, how great is that darkness? That's what he says. So we got to be careful. How many want a single eye? You know what my eye is looking to? The Savior. I'm promised to you. I'm yours. So the enemy's going to come. He's going to put stuff between your eye. The eye is the gate. It's the lamp. And so all the stuff you'll put there, and you say, no, that ain't for me. I belong to somebody. I belong to Him. I belong to you. You got to tell Him that every day. It's the days that you don't tell Him that you get further and further away. You just tell Him every day. Glory to God. Let me tell you, God is good. Amen? Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of Elohim, building of God, the house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And He's telling this, for in this we groan. There's a groaning going on. That's the groan. That's the shouting, the groaning. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. We groaning. That's what we should be doing. We're waiting for it to happen. So if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found what? Naked, without a covering. Without a covering. How many thank God He's your covering? He's my covering. Thank you, Lord. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. We in this one. We in this tabernacle, this body, we do groan, being burdened. Anybody ever have some burdens? Am I telling the truth here? Being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That's what we're groaning for. This mortal, listen, you got aches and pains, the older I get, the more I find out, you know what? That ain't fun. But this mortal, that the mortal might be swallowed up alive. Amen? How many see that? All right, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. How many see that? Where moth and rust doth corrupt. And where thieves break in through to steal it. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in through to steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure? You want to know why we're acting like this today? While we come over here and we shout and we pray and the horn goes off, we all get teary-eyed and get emotional because my treasure's in heaven. Some people hear, what that sound? I wonder what they doing. What is that? Think about that. We got to get information out to people. How many going to tell somebody about today? Tell somebody and say, listen, we need this. Don't be ashamed. Tell them, you need this. You tell them and say, this is important to us. This is life. This is stuff that will save our lives. Let them know. In the book of Acts, watch this. This is right before the Savior ascended. And watch what he says. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yeshua began to do both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse number 3. In whom also he showed himself alive after his passions, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse number 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he, ye have heard of me. Verse 5, and John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Verse 6, and when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Master, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Is it now? Notice that question. Is it now? Right now. They're asking the Master. Now, he's already resurrected. He's in his resurrected, glorified state. And they're speaking to him. And he said, is it this time you're going to do what you said you're going to do? Verse 7, he said to them, is his answer, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. Notice that. Not for you to know the times or the season that the Father put in his own power. Now, with that being said, if I don't know the rest of Scripture, then I'm going to be confused here. Because I thought what this was all about is we're looking for that season. Right? We're looking for this time. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. Well, let's look at this because I want to explain it to you. In Matthew chapter 16, verse number 1, the Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, these are the learned people of their day. There's nobody smarter than these guys. They're the learned. They're one. They're not together, but they're separate from one another. They got two different schools of thoughts. The Pharisees would believe one way, and the Sadducees believe a different way. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. But anyway, they're going to speak to him. They came and they tempt and desire him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said to them, Yeshua says, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today. If the sky is red and lowering, you hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky. And he calls him a hypocrite. You can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? Oh, notice that. Think about that. You can't discern the signs of the time. Now, what they were asking Yeshua at the beginning was for him to tell them right then and there. I've already given you the information. The prophets prophesied about me, about this information. And then he tells them, you can't discern the signs of the time, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. So I want you to think about that. Keep that in your mind. Matthew 24, verse number 1. And Yeshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Yeshua said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be overthrown. Think about that. Not one stone be left on another that shall not be overthrown. When was Jerusalem destroyed? Does anybody know? When was Jerusalem destroyed, the temple destroyed? It happens in AD 70. And they come in, they burn the entire temple to the ground. What was the inside walls of the temple made of? What was the inside walls made of? It was made of gold. And they burned it, and the gold would then leak down and melt down. And so they got in there, and they pried apart every stone to collect the gold. Just what Yeshua said, not one stone would be left unturned. He prophesied that would happen. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Everybody's interested. Remember I told you at the very beginning, every person deep down inside, they want to know. We really do. We want to know. There are two ages. Let me cover this. I don't know if I can. I believe I can. Well, let's try it. There are two ages. Two ages. How many's ever heard of the Apocrypha? The Apocryphal books. These are some more writings. At one time, they were canonized. They were taken out of the canon. They're no longer canonized. In other words, they're not in the Bible you carry with you. But they were. They were in there. There's a book called 2 Ezra. How many see that? 2 Ezra chapter 6. Let me read something to you. And I wouldn't even read this if it wouldn't coincide with the Scripture. That's how you test everything. You test everything by the Scripture. So let me read this to you and talk about two ages. Keep that in mind. The dividing of times. Verse 7. I answered and said, what will be the dividing of the times? Because what did they ask him about? The times. When is this time going to be? Listen to what he says. Or when will be the end of the first age? The two ages. When will be the end of the first age and the beginning of the age that follows? Two ages. In Ezra, 2 Ezra 6, 8, he said to me, from Abraham to Isaac, because from him were born Jacob and Esau. For Jacob's hand held Esau's heel from the beginning. I mean, you're familiar with that story. I want you to stay up with this, because this is going to help you today. In 2 Ezra verse 9, he said, Esau is the end of this age. He's telling us. He's the end of this age, and Jacob is the beginning of the age that follows. Esau is the end of one age, and Jacob is the beginning of a different age. Let me read that to you in Genesis now to see if we're still in line here. Isaac entreated Yeshua for his wife because she was barren. And Yeshua was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went and inquired of Yahweh. And Yahweh said to her, two nations are in thy womb. How many notice that? Two nations in thy womb. And two manners of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Notice that the elder is going to serve the younger. And when her days were to be delivered, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first, let me see that, the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. Who was first? Esau. There are two stages in this life that we live. There are two ages. Right now, at this moment, we're in the first age. They're not four ages. I didn't read nothing about four. I read about two ages. There are two. The first is Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 60 years old when she bare of him. Think about that. He was 60. So we got this story. Now let's go back to Ezra, 2 Ezra 8, verse 6, verse 8. And he said to me, from Abraham to Isaac, from him were born Jacob and Esau. Is he telling the truth? Sure he is. For Jacob's hand held Esau's heel from the beginning. He said when they're going to be born, he's going to have his heel. And who come out first? Esau. Verse 9. And Esau is the end of this age. Esau is the end of this age, and Jacob is the beginning of the age that follows. How many see that? Verse 10. The beginning of a person is the hand. And the end of a person is the heel. Seek for nothing else. Seek for nothing else. Ezra, between the heel and the hand, Ezra. Seek for nothing else. Ezra, between the heel and the hand. Ezra, is this helping anybody? I don't know about you, but this Yom Teruah, I'm looking for him. And next year, I'll be looking for him. And the years following until he comes back, I'm seeking nothing else. I know I'm in this age, but this age will end. And when the new age comes in, because he grabs his heel, the beginning of a new era. How many thank God for that? Woo! Let me tell you, it's going to be something. You want to be in that. You'd hate to live your whole life in just the age of Esau and don't live any life in the age of Jacob. Can you imagine what kind of life that's going to be? With the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I want to be at every moment of that. But we don't teach people about what's coming. We don't teach about... Listen, you're in the worst age there is. trying to be famous. You don't want to be famous here. You want fame. You want prestige. You got to get to that age that's coming. How many of you ever seen this picture? The rapture theory. Well, let me tell you, there's going to be a rapture. There ain't no doubt about it. But it ain't what everybody's been thinking. It's, as a matter of fact, the whole left behind. Let me just put that up again because I think you need to see it again. It's not going to be this. Because this is what everybody wants to read. Everybody wants this. Because we got something on the inside of us that tells us, man, what is it? What, you don't have, you can be an atheist, you want to know about this. But that rapture theory, there's going to be something that's going to happen. You're going to go from one age to the next age. And your life will change. Think about that. I'm almost done. This is what happens when you do not lay the proper foundation. People start running off with their own mind. They'll start running off with their own mind. They'll say, hey, you got to be ready. This is how it used to be preached. You just got to be ready because you never know. You never know. Man, he can come back tomorrow. He can come back next week. You just never know. And the church is going and the whole world is going to be in trouble. It's going to be something. And then that's the end of the story. Nobody says anything after that. You ever wonder what we do after that? You ever wondered about that? Is that the end of Jacob's age? Is that the end? You think about it. Is that it? What happens to the people left? Well, they got that you know, the man's going to come and, like, he already got them. He's going to get them more. Is that what you're saying? He got them. He's going to get them more. They should have been ready. You know, we say, but it's not what he said. What's going to happen is when the king returns, we're going to have this wedding. We're going to get that done. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to get and eat that hooper. Yeah. And we're just going to have us a time. But then, we got to crown the king. Exactly, where do you think that's going to happen? Because Jacob's age comes in then. Where is that going to happen? Well, let me just tell you, he starts out, when he comes, he hits the Mount of Olives, he splits that baby right in two. That ain't no figurative speech, that ain't no figurative language, that's for real. The earth quakes and the earth divides and the mountain is split. One goes that way and one goes the other way, and a clear path in the eastern gate is opened up for the king. I'm talking about in Israel right now with all the corruption that's going on. If you think Israel's good right now, you have been fooled. Full of corruption. He's going to clean house. Well, what about me? Well, that's where you come in. Those who died in Christ, they come in because they raised first to immortality. The ones who didn't die, they shall be changed. Isn't that amazing? And then God sets up his kingdom. I mean, thank God for that. So who gives that authority? Well, the Most High gives the authority to his only son. He says, you set this kingdom up and you do everything I tell you to do. And there it is. What a day that's going to be. That's going to be the age of Jacob. The hand grabs the heel. The start of that age. The start is the hand, the end is the heel. He grabs the heel. That is the changeover. How many thank God that one day it's going to be something? And so if you in Esau's age and you live and we have all this time going on since the time of Adam all the way to now, it's been a long time. How many know that's a long time? And it talks about there's going to be a millennial reign. That's what it talks about, a millennial reign with the Lord. We can go into all sorts of thoughts on that millennial reign. But let me just tell you this. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth. All the stuff that was won't be, but it'll all be new. You ever wondered about those things? Well, don't wonder no more, because that's the age of Jacob. There's a lot of stuff to fight for here. I'm just giving you some hope. You're not just fighting to be saved. Safe. Is this what this is about? You slid in? Safe? It's not about being safe. There's a lot to fight about here. Well, I want to know what that's going to be like. I want to be involved in that age. I want to be relevant then. And how can you if you never make it? So if you're here today and you don't know if you're going to make it, you probably won't. You say you can know, you can be that certain? Well, sure you can. Well, absolutely you can. You ever look, you know, when that bride, she looks at her hand and she sees that engagement ring, she knows she's promised. The Bible says you have a seal. The promise of the Holy Spirit seals you and guarantees you that you make it. That's the promise. You have the ring. You have the ring. It's the prodigal story. Soon as he got back, he put a ring on his finger, a robe on his back, shoes on his feet. You're mine. You're my son. Don't be acting like no servant. You're my son. You come back. We need a mass exodus, a mass coming back in our world today where people come back and realize you promised. Wait for him. He's coming. He's going to return. Wait for him. He's on his way. My prayer is that this helped you today. You've seen that this Yom Teruah is no joke. We ought to be preaching this twice on Sunday. We ought to be telling everybody we can. We ought to be sharing this with every person that we come in contact with. So let me just tell you here today, if you're here today and you don't know for sure, you can. You can know, and you ought to want to know. If you're not betrothed, you won't make it. How do you get betrothed? The Bible is very clear. It's very clear. We got to first recognize that we're not going to. That's what you got to recognize, that, you know what? I haven't been honest with myself, all the people around me, or God. I haven't been honest. I've been lying to myself this whole time, and I don't want to lie to myself no more. I want to be right. And the way you get right is you just ask him. You say, I want to be right with you. I want to be right with you, and I repent. I repent for my mistakes, the things I did, nobody else. You know, one of the things you got to remember, you're not going to bring all the people that you blamed all your life to stand before God. You're not bringing that entourage with you and say, they're the reason. It's him. When you go before the Lord, you're going to be by yourself. You ain't going to have nobody to blame. You can blame them now. Is it worth it? You're in the age of Esau, and it's about to end. Jacob's got his hand on his heel. The age of Esau is about over. It's over. Why do you think this is coming to the light now? Years ago, you wouldn't have heard this message years ago. You wouldn't have heard anything close to this. Why is it coming to the light? Because God's saying, I'm going to help you. I didn't finish this, but it goes on and it says, be careful. Because you'll be deceived. In the last day, there'll be false prophets who'll come and they'll deceive many, he said. Many will be deceived. They're going to tell them, man, you just got to have your best life now. There are many ways to get to God. You don't really, you know, it's just, you just, everybody's just got to act right. God's cool. When you tell me when God started being cool. Somebody please help me because I'm missing that. He ain't cool. He ain't trying to be cool. The Father, the Most High, he ain't got time to be cool. He's trying to keep this thing together. He's showing you and I that I've given you every opportunity to make it right. And that's what he does for us. And so now we have a choice. All of us. We have a choice. What do I want to do? Where do I want to spend eternity? What do I want to do with my life? Do you want to live in the time, the age of Jacob? Do you want to do that? Is that a time that you would love to spend? Think about the latter part. Go to, I think you can go later and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and read that. It'll just flip you upside down. The Bible says after Christ has subdued the enemy and the saints, they make it in the age of Jacob. That the one who had given the authority to Christ to do this, that the one who said, go ahead and do this, my son, he's going to then, Christ, turn the kingdom over to the one who gave it to him. And then the Bible says, the Lord himself steps in. There'll be no need for the Son when you got that kind of glory. When you got the glory that the Most High has, there's no need for the Son. You remember, all of this started in my life off of one prophecy. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. You'll begin to preach like a man from a different world. Your eyes will shoot fire, your revelation levels will increase. Everything you are now is going to change. I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 steps ahead of you for the rest of your life. Want all you want, dream all you want, I'll do it. I'm taking you through a transformation. Think about that. All of this started, he said this, but when you look in my glory, you're going to be changed. You can't peek into the glory. I challenge anybody here. You want your life to change? You peek in the glory, you're not coming back. You're going to get lost in the presence of God. You're going to just, it's just something about it. You can't pick the Bible up without revelation. You can't read a scripture without revelation. You can't do any of that. You got to be ready to where you don't sleep as like normal people sleep. You got to give yourself over to it. But let me tell you what it does. You get awakened to a reality that the enemy is real. And he's out to get you. But God, as real as the enemy is, God is so much more, exceedingly above all. He's so much more if we just open up and find out the amazement of who he is. The Lord himself steps in, and then he'll be all in all. What a day that's going to be. That's the age of Jacob. That heel and that hand is touching. That's where we are. In that age of Jacob, you never read a single verse in the scripture that it ends. But Esau's age, it ends. It ends. And this is the age you're in. We're locked in this age. We're locked in it. Can I get out? Yes, you can. Anybody here that says, Lord, I want to live for you. I'm tired of blaming everybody around. I want to live for you. I love you. Some of you here, you need to make that decision more. You don't even realize how bad you need to make it. When I got here this morning, I started to say, Lord, I just want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for the message. Because I wasn't even preaching. I wasn't going to do this. I told Brother Josh, I said, you have the service. In the morning, you take the service. He said, no, I'm done. I said, okay. I got home. I said, well, Lord, I'm going to do the Galatians series. I got 5 more weeks. I got to finish this. And then I sat down. And I said, yep, that's what I'll do. I settled on it. I'm going to do the Galatians. Good. Then I started reading. And then I read a little more. I went, Lord, what are you doing? And I'm telling you, today was done this way because of you. Because he knew you would be here. And he wanted you to hear it because he loves you that much. He loves you that much. I didn't know, have no idea who all would be here this morning since we had church last night. But God knew. And he said, I want them to hear this because I love them that much. And I don't want one, not one of them to perish. Not one of them. I want every one of them to make it. So I'm going to give them the information. They won't have to worry about failing. They won't have to worry about not making it. I'm giving it all to them today. And that's what the Lord has done. Let's stand.